We are talking about the Marianne Reynolds Chamber Concert Series this entire hour here on WCVE. I mentioned that Susanna Klein is here from VCU. She's professor of violin. Susanna, it's so wonderful to welcome you back into the studio.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
And we have got a blockbuster series this year. We just mentioned the Emerson String Quartet kicks things off on Saturday, but wow, what a bunch of performers we have lined up this year. We were talking about this off the air, about the groups that are coming in have been together for a very long time.
Yeah, it's unusual, actually. And I can't say that we designed it like that on purpose. But yeah, the Emerson has been together for, this is their 41st season. They have a new cellist, but the group has been together for that long, has racked up 9 Grammys, over 30 recordings. There's just a wealth of knowledge and classical music power there. And then in January, we're welcoming Leon Fleischer and Catherine Jacobson in piano duos. And Leon Fleischer is going to be celebrating his 90th birthday next year.
That is so hard to believe when you told me he's 90. Oh, my goodness. But he's still playing and going strong.
Yeah, he's still playing, commissioning, recording, all of that stuff. And then in February, we have a group from Europe, which is exciting. The Berlin Philharmonic Wind Quintet, which I believe you're a fan of.
I am very excited about that. Their players are just fabulous from the Berlin Philharmonic. I mean, strings and winds, of course. But I mentioned to you off the air that I just subscribed to the Digital Concert Hall, which
yes.
is, you know, their website. And they produce concerts live on there, but they also go back in their archives, and it's just amazing. There's over like 700 concerts to watch.
Yeah, so I hear it's incredible.
It takes a long time, and of course, amazing conductors that they get to come in there. You know, the most popular worldwide conductor. So that's something for our listeners. Might want to check it out, digitalconcerthall.com. But the members of the Wind Quintet here in February.
Yep, and they've also been together for a really long time, 30 years.
Hard to believe.
And this is their last season, so if you've been tempted to check out a wind quintet, you should definitely not miss that one. And then we finish in March, March 17th, the Kallikstein Laredo Robinson Trio, which is also in their 40th season.
Wow.
So they got to start actually playing for the inauguration of Jimmy Carter. That was their first gig.
So how'd you pull all this off?
I don't know, more or less, you know, by accident. I mean, we're always looking for great quality, and it just so happens that this is how it lined up. We have 4 concerts this year, not 5 or not 6 like we sometimes have, and every year is a little different. Last year, we had a lot of really young groups, Dover Quartet, Parker Quartet. What I say in my program notes for this weekend, actually, is age, it's a good thing. We're going
glad back. To hear that.
Yeah, exactly. Me too.
So now the Chamber Music Series goes back over 30 years. How did this all get started? I know you weren't here at the time, but can you give us a little bit of background?
Yeah, so I'm going to piece it together from what I've heard. It started originally as a kind of collaboration with the Kennedy Center, actually. And it was funded by Marianne Reynolds, left a sizable gift to endow the series, which is great. And we're so grateful, you know, as an educational institution and as a community for that. But originally, groups would go to the Kennedy Center and play, and then on the very next day come to VCU and play a date here. And so we were getting world-class artists, do you know what I mean, kind of riding on the coattails of those big halls in D.C. And as the seasons have progressed, sometimes there's a tie-in to either D.C. or New York, you know, chamber music at Lincoln Center, but sometimes there's not. So we're officially independent, but there still is a lot of collaboration, because when we see that a really hot group is coming to the East Coast, do you know what I mean? We try to capitalize on that and get them down here to Richmond.
And you can find out more about VCU Music at their website, arts.vcu.edu/music, or of course, following them on Facebook as well. And you have an Instagram account too, something I haven't ventured into just yet. Facebook
media.
And Twitter's enough for me, but
yeah.
But anyway, so these are all concerts that are coming up mostly on Saturday nights. There's one on the Sunday afternoon is the Leon Fleischer one, I believe, correct?
Yes, on January 28th.
Right.
That's a Sunday afternoon for us.
So let's start out with this weekend. The Emerson String Quartet is going to be here. Can you tell us a little bit about the program that they are presenting?
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited. It's kind of a music lovers program. They're starting with Henry Purcell Chaconi, or a Chacon, which it's more commonly called. the last quartet of Dmitri Shostakovich, and then one of the late Beethoven quartets, Opus 127.
And there are a lot of Beethoven quartets, but those late ones are quite special.
Yes.
I do know that. That's the Opus 127, correct?
Yes, E-flat minor.
Yeah.
Right.
So we have some music that we're going to be playing throughout the hour and talking to Susanna a little bit more. The Purcell is the first thing that we have here to listen to. Can you tell us a little bit about this piece? It's a rather short work.
Yeah, it's a short work. It's really beautiful, kind of nostalgic. And, you know, Purcell's dates were 1659 to 1695, sorry, thereabouts. We're not actually exactly sure on the birth date. This was written in a time when instruments actually weren't specified. So it wouldn't have been written for string quartet. It was simply written for four voices. I think it's called Four Voices on a Round. So it's done often on string quartet, but it's also performed by orchestras and various, you know, instrumentations as long as there are four voices present. So I believe the recording that you pulled for us is from the Academy of Ancient Music.
It is, with Christopher Hogwood, yes.
Oh, lovely.
Yes, so let's take a listen to the Purcell. If you are just joining us, Susanna Klein is here, professor of violin at VCU, and she's very involved with the Marianne Reynolds Chamber Concert Series. They've been doing this since 1983, bringing some of the world's top musicians to Richmond. So we were talking about the Emerson String Quartet, and they have been together an awfully long time. Purcell is on the program. There's a lot more. Anything else you want to add here about Emerson in general, the group?
You know, it's amazing. They've been together for so long, but they're still really, I don't know how to say it. They're affecting the landscape of chamber music in new and different ways. They've done a couple of projects recently that include multimedia and theater pieces, commissioning new works. They have been commissioning all along, but they're still branching out and learning and pursuing new avenues. So they're an inspiration, really, to anyone who's serious about string quartets.
And you mentioned that they have a new cellist recently.
They do, Paul Watkins,
right?
Who's amazing.
So you, as a string player, have done a lot of string quartet work. What's it like to bring in a new member to work with three that have been together for such a long period of time?
I would assume in that particular dynamic, you know, that it takes some getting used to, but that also it's a huge opportunity because it changes the dynamic of the whole group. And of course, you have a different voice with different ideas that may be totally new to the other three. So I think for them, it's been really exciting. What I've seen, there are a couple clips that Chamber Music Lincoln Center put out of them sort of working together on YouTube. And it seems like there's just a certain energy in the air when they're working together. There's a lot of laughter. Somebody in the press said, I think the quote was, let's be clear, you know, Emerson was no slouch before, but, you know, that they're doing really, really amazing things, just having a little bit of new blood in there as well.
You've got a lot of different personalities that are working together. And of course, you kind of get a rapport when you're working together for so long. And then all of a sudden, a new voice comes in, you know, that might change the dynamic, as you said. So, and in a good way,
yeah,
I'm sure.
Absolutely. So. I think the last clips I saw of them, they are now standing. I don't remember them standing before.
No, I don't either. Yeah.
So that's what I'm expecting Saturday night. I'm not sure, but what I've seen is that Paul Watkins is kind of on a platform. The cello is built up, and the other three are standing.
That's pretty neat. Now, we have some more music to play, four-string quartet, and actually this is a recording that Susanna brought in of the late quartets, one of the quartets that they are going to be playing on Saturday evening. It's the Beethoven Quartet in E-flat major, Opus 127. The finale is what we're going to hear. Want to tell us a little bit about this piece?
Yeah, so the late Beethoven quartets have kind of a special place in music history and quartets in particular. So Beethoven, his last six pieces were his late quartets, and he stopped composing basically for everything else. He'd already written the Ninth Symphony, the Missa Solemnis, all these other things that he's famous for, and he sort of towards the end of his life turns inward and produces these quite amazing, pretty large pieces that continue, I think, to amaze people as they study them. They're quite dense. They're often long, although this one isn't too long. And they're really special, I think, in his own life and in the lives of many musicians who study them. The Opus 127, I think, is particularly, I think, joyous in a way that maybe the other ones aren't. Mm. And when I was writing the program notes, I was really thinking about dark and light, because the Shostakovich, his last quartet that they're also playing that night, it's dark. There's really hardly anything light about it. It's kind of an amazing journey, an amazing piece. I was putting together the program notes actually as the news of the mass shooting unfolded a couple weeks ago. You know, it really spoke to me in its darkness, I would say. And then I realized how light actually Opus 127 is. I don't mean light in the sense of entertaining, but truly hopeful in character, I would say.
And it's in a major key. Some of the other late quartets are in minor keys.
Yes, yes. And I think it's just a real testament to the human spirit at the end of his life, this sort of joyous outlook. I hear the art of possibility in it, but others might disagree, but that's my own personal
thing. Let's see what our listeners think right now. For the finale of the Quartet in E-flat major, Opus 127 by Beethoven, this is a recording by the Emerson String Quartet back in the late 90s on 88.9 WCBE. Susanna Klein is here from VCU, and I've known Susanna for a long time, playing with the Richmond Symphony, professor of violin at VCU. Not to get off topic here, but how's it going over at VCU? How do you enjoy working with your violin studio?
Oh, I love it. I mean, part of what I love, I think, about being a professor is that you get to do a little bit of everything. Sound familiar?
Yes, very much so.
You know, I teach. I do some, right now I'm doing some research on kind of physiology of violin playing and some technology development. I play some concerts. I play with the symphony occasionally. And I find that little bit of jack of all trades actually really satisfies me more than doing just one thing.
Well, and I know from teaching, you know, when you're teaching your students, you kind of reinforce the concepts that you know and that you need to use in your performance.
In your own craft.
And I find that my performance level keeps going up the
Absolutely.
More teaching that I'm doing. So
it's
really interesting how that
yeah,
happens.
As you're looking for new solutions for them.
Right.
And for me, I'm an externalizer. Anyway, so sometimes it's not until I say something to somebody else that I really, oh, yeah, that's how I do that, or that's how I should
right.
be doing that.
Right. Sometimes you know. You're just not realizing what you're doing, and then all of a sudden you're teaching it to somebody else. It's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I definitely think that it makes me grow in my own playing still, which is
so
wonderful.
You've got to be excited about the Emerson String Quartet coming to town.
I mean, they have been
an icon. I know from just the years I've been here at the station programming, I'm always programming the Emerson String Quartet because we have so many
They've
recordings.
They've recorded so much, yes. right.
So they're going to be playing the Beethoven, and you'll be able to hear the full piece on Saturday night. Also some Shostakovich. I know you touched on the Shostakovich a little bit before about how dark it is. Anything else you want to say about that piece? Is that the finale of the program?
No, that's right after the Purcell. That's okay. We're going to end on a hopeful note with Beethoven.
With the Beethoven.
But, Shostakovich is in the first half. You know, just it was amazing to me how much I learned writing the program notes for this. For example, I learned that Shostakovich had intended to write 24 string quartets, one in each major and minor key.
Wow.
I did not know that.
I did not either.
Yeah. So all of the Shostakovich quartets have a different key signature. E-flat minor is as flat as you get. It is in itself a really dark key. For you music geeks out there, you know that's a lot of flats on the,
it
on
is.
The staff. It's
I know
amazing.
I know what would happen if I showed that key signature to one of my kids. It wouldn't be a pleasant scene.
Right, exactly. It's very difficult to execute, and it's just a real journey. It's something, it's kind of a cathartic experience. That's how I would say. The students at VCU are most excited about that piece.
All right, and we do have some more music to play for you, but we've touched on the Emerson String Quartet. It's not the only concert for the series this year. If you are just tuning in, there are a bunch of concerts of internationally renowned musicians coming to town. Leon Fleischer's going to be here with his wife. We'll play something for piano four hands in just a little while, but I did want to move ahead to a piece that you had mentioned to me is on this year's program, and that is the Mendelssohn Piano Trio number 2.
Right.
That's going to be played in March.
Yes. So that's March 17th. That's our season closer, actually. March 17th, a Saturday at 8. That is the Kallikstein Laredo Robinson Trio. The Mendelssohn C minor trio, the reason you and I talked about it is because it was one of my favorite all-time pieces. So
no bias here whatsoever.
No bias whatsoever, right. Full disclosure. And the recording we're going to play is actually by the Beaux-Arts Trio,
yes.
The other sort of big trio out there.
They have been around for a long time.
As well.
Yes,
exactly.
Both of these.
And
so.
The Mendelssohn is just wonderfully lyrical. There's a chorale, like a 16th century chorale quote in the middle of it, and it's soul food. That's music soul food, I should say.
And it's another finale that we're playing, the last movie.
That is. It's another finale, and it's another piece written late in a composer's life. Now, Mendelssohn died pretty young at 38, so late in this case is relative, but he wrote this right after he wrote his very famous violin concerto.
Okay, so this is the finale from the Piano Trio number 2, which is in C minor, so another minor key here, Opus 66, the Beaux-Arts Trio performing on 88.9 WCVE. That's the finale of the Piano Trio number 2 in C minor by Felix Mendelssohn, the Beaux-Arts Trio, performing here on 88.9 WCVE, and that's on the final program of this year's Marianne Reynolds Chamber Concert Series at VCU. Susanna Klein is the professor of violin over at VCU, and she's been very gracious to come by the studio and talk with me for this entire hour. And for those that are just joining us, Susanna, can we give an overview of all the concerts just one more time here, starting out this Saturday, 8 o'clock, with the Emerson String Quartet?
Yes. So we have 4 concerts. The first one is Emerson this Saturday. And then January 28th, Leon Fleischer and Catherine Jacobson are coming to play piano, some solo and some piano four hands. That is a Sunday 3 p.m. concert, kind of unusual for us, but I'm excited about getting something during the day. February 17th, the Berlin Philharmonic Wind Quintet is coming, which I know you're super excited about.
Very much so.
And then we close.
How did you know?
And then we close the season March 17th, another Saturday night, with the Kallikstein Laredo Robinson Trio.
And that's the one that the Mendelssohn will be on.
That's
now,
right.
You talked a little bit about Leon Fleischer, and his wife are going to be here. It's still hard for me to believe that Leon Fleischer is 90 years old.
He'll be turning 90.
Oh, my goodness. Time is flying way too fast. But you have some interesting background on Leon as well.
Well, his program is really interesting, too, because of his own personal history. So he was a musical sensation when he was very, very young. And then in the 60s, I believe, he lost completely the use of his right hand due to focal dystonia, which is kind of a disorder that unfortunately afflicts musicians that essentially paralyzes them from playing. And so he continued playing, but only with his left hand. That went on for about 30 years. And during that time, he really championed left-hand-only piano music, which there already was some.
Right.
Brahms had written some, and actually there's a Brahms on the program. But he commissioned a lot of works for the left hand alone. Continued teaching and, continued being a vibrant performer, essentially, but just with one hand. And then in the 90s, he essentially, with the help of Rolfing and Botox injections, was able to, I don't know, I wouldn't say heal his right hand, but get it substantially better enough to start performing again with both hands. And so since that time in the 90s, he has started appearing live again with both hands. He's been recording both hands. So he's had, sort of a third stage of his career.
That's
he's pretty inspiring to follow.
Yes. I'd say, and now at 90, going strong. So
yeah, and so his program is kind of a combination of some left hand alone, some solo, and some piano forehands.
One more time, Susanna, tell us how we can go about getting tickets.
Yeah, so either single tickets or subscriptions for the whole series, which are still available. You can get them online or by phone. If you want to do it online, that web address is go.vcu.edu/concerts. That's go.vcu.edu/concerts. And just you'll find the Marianne Reynolds series there. Or by phone during business hours is 828-1169. If you want to subscribe, one of the benefits of subscription is that you get free valet parking. So
that's pretty neat.
Yeah, that's a good perk, especially down at VCU.
It definitely is. Well, Susanna, thank you so much for stopping by the studios. We look forward to following up on these concerts throughout the season.
Thanks a lot.